Yeah, I was going to have to apologize there for not being Mike. So it's good to be with you this evening. Good to bring the message. This evening, I'm going to speak on Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this is coming out of John chapter 10. And if you would, turn your Bibles there to John chapter 10. We're going to deal with about four verses there. Or five verses, I'm sorry. About five verses there in John chapter 10. And while you're turning there, in this lesson we're going to understand that we have a good shepherd who's watching over us. And number two, we will also see that we have a loving shepherd. We have a loving shepherd that watches over us. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, let me go ahead and read that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So what do we know about shepherds? Well, there's a few things that we do know. They tended to the sheep. They tended to the flock. Well, they took care of the surroundings. They protected the sheep from harm. They led the flock to pasture. And also we think of shepherds today in the church as leaders of the church, you know, our elders. We do have shepherds in the church today. They watch over our congregations and make sure that we stay on the straight and narrow path. Our shepherds also make sure that we are doctrinally sound. We have Jesus, who is the good shepherd. But I wonder, as sheep, are we following God's word, or are we aware of false doctrine that is around us, even within the church today? And that's something to think about. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And this is Paul to Timothy. And the Bible reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. We know that there is false doctrine around us, but we must preach the word and have great patience with those who need to be taught the right way of doing things. Point number one this evening, it talks about there, and back in John chapter 10 there in verse 11, it talks about that I am the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for his sheep. We know that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind by dying on the cross for you and for all mankind. His blood that he shed frees us from sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. The Bible reads, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Jesus' blood continually cleanses us if we truly repent and change our ways of living. We must be truthful with God and ourselves, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, if Jesus laid down his life for us, then what do we need to do? Well, we must follow his example. We must follow his example. Love has a lot to do with Christianity. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. And this is Jesus addressing the disciples here. The Bible reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus sacrificed himself for all of us. How can we lay down our lives for our friends? Well, by taking care of each other, by taking care of one another's needs. We must give of ourselves and to those around us. How does that make us feel to do something for someone else? Well, it should make us feel good. It should make us feel good. You know, it may brighten another person's day when we do things for others. It may brighten their day, and they may want to do that for someone else. They may want to brighten someone else's day up. We never know the impact of doing something for someone else. We don't know the impact that we have. They see the example that we display, and it might want them to make them question their spiritual life, like maybe even obeying the gospel. We just need to remember that we shouldn't take the glory in things when we do for others. The glory goes to God. The glory goes to God. Point number two this evening. In John chapter 10, verses 12 through 13 there, it talks about the hired hand. It talks about the hired hand there. In verses 12 and 13, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." You know, are we like the hired hand at times? Are we like the hired hand? Do we run when we see trouble coming? We know things need to be addressed in the church. We need to let the scriptures speak for themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And this is where we could start. This is a good start and a good scripture to remember. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible reads, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You know, some things go on that must be corrected. Some things go on that must be corrected. You know, I would rather be corrected than to be doing something wrong. You know, we can say that we can revert back to our teenage years. You know, most of us did not like to be corrected or disciplined, but in the long run, we are better people for it now. We don't see that when we're younger. We need to know that it's okay to be corrected. It's okay. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, "The false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." So we must be aware of false teachers. We must be aware of false teachers and make sure what they are teaching lines up with what the Bible says. You know, what things are creeping in into today's church, even within amongst the brotherhood. And there's a few things that I threw in here. You know, there's the topic of instrumental music all the time going around. Praise teams, and this was another one that came came up when we were in preaching school, praise dancing, many other things that are not scriptural. You know, if false teachers come in, we need to let them know that they need to be preaching the truth and not their own teachings. So many get caught up in doing things their own way, even if it's against scripture. And why is that? Well, they are rebelling against God. They're rebelling against God. We know that judgment is coming one day. In Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read a few verses there in Matthew 25. We'll start in verses 31 through 33. The Bible reads, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Verse 33, "And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left." Now, if you go on down to verses 40 and 41, "The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" In verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Now, if we move on down to verses 45 and 46, "Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we should want to be found righteous. If we are in Christ and striving to live faithfully, then we should have no doubt where we will spend eternity. We should have confidence in knowing and know that, you know, and knowing that we, if we are found in Christ and we are living faithfully, that we know heaven awaits us. You know, the wolf that is discussed back in John chapter 10, the wolf that is discussed there in John chapter 10, in verse 12, I believe, the wolf that's discussed could mean, you know, Satan. We know that Satan is also out there and he's at work. He's always at work. How does Satan manipulate us to sin? Well, he entices us. He entices us to sin. You know, like he did Eve. You know, he lied to Eve. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible reads, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So why do many people listen to him? What does he have to offer? Well, Satan can make things sound fun and look fun, but in the end, it can lead us to destruction if we are not careful. We know the truth because it has been given to us. The truth has been given to us. It's up to us to abide by that truth. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, the Bible reads, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" You know, there are things that we must do, and we can't deviate from the truth. Many things, many others try to do what they want to do, even if it's against Scripture. You know, if we want to be lights in the world, we must be different. We must be set apart. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, we can't allow our Bibles to collect dust on our shelves. You know, we need daily Bible study to get that renewed mind, to be renewed. Each day we must strive to be closer to God than we were the day before. We know the world tries to tell us how to live, but we must change the world and not let it change us. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, we'll read a couple of verses, or two or three verses there. 1 John chapter 3, verses 13, and then verses 15 and 16. Verse 13, the Bible reads, "Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." Now in verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. That is the kind of love we need to have for one another. That deep love. We are blessed here at this congregation, you know, and we're not afraid to share the gospel. We're not afraid to share the gospel. You know, this last week, I know that we had Vacation Bible School and we planted seeds. And maybe through those teachings, there might be, maybe later on, obedience of the gospel. And that's what we're aiming for and striving for. You know, it took most of the adults here to help with everything that went on. You know, if you showed up, you were put to work, and that's what it's about. It takes everyone, and it's so much appreciated. Our third thing this evening that I want to discuss, and it comes from there at the John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 there. Jesus knows his own sheep. Jesus knows his own sheep. You know, does he recognize us when we sin? Does he recognize us when we sin? Probably not. We only if we truly repent. And also, he probably knows us by our fruit, our fruitful labors. We shouldn't jeopardize Jesus not knowing us as his sheep. You know, Jesus reassures us that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Jesus lets us know that he was willing to die on the cross for all so that they could be saved from sin. The key thing is obedience. Obedience. Jesus did the will of his Father. This was all in God's plan. This was God's plan. Many times we don't understand God's plan. Why things happen. You know, one of these days all of our questions will be answered. Doubt is something we all deal with sometimes, but we must fully trust that God has the better plan for each and every one of us. We can be forever grateful for God and his guidance through the scriptures. You know, it's great to know that we have a Heavenly Father who hears our prayers. You know, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, the Bible reads, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." You know, if we are practicing things that are evil, then we better change our ways so our prayers can be heard. You know, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, and this was Jesus choosing the 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible reads, "It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he went and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." He wanted the right men for the job. So he prayed all night about this decision. How often do we go to bed with things on our mind that we ought to pray about? You know, that's something to think about. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible reads, "Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Why do we have trouble doing this? Well, because we may think that God deals with, he has too much on his plate. Well, we must put our full trust that God will see us through in our deepest, darkest days. He will do that. May our relationship to God be strengthened each and every day. You know, the Bereans, they studied daily. They studied their Bibles daily. And we need to have that same attitude. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, or if you are a Christian and you are struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.